This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. Vatican Radio has signed a radio production and broadcasting agreement with Malta's Public Broadcasting Services, or PBS, the EU country's national radio and television broadcaster. Vatican Radio's Director General, Jesuit Father Federico Lombardi, signed the accord last week in Valletta, together with PBS Board Chairman Tonio Portugese. The agreement between the two longtime members of the European Broadcasting Union, also known as the EBU, will permit technical cooperation, the exchange of programming and archive material, and training of personnel. Vatican Radio is currently the coordinator of the smaller states like Malta that are members of the EBU. And Portugese says the radio works on behalf of their interests and rights in a milieu of more imposing European broadcasters with much bigger portfolios. Though a small country, Malta's population of 420,000 is overwhelmingly Catholic. Their connection with the Vatican and the Pope is essential for them, Portugese says. He adds there are high expectations that Pope Francis will pay a visit to Malta, following in the footsteps of Popes John Paul II and Benedict XVI, as well, of course, as St. Paul, who brought the faith to the island nation after his shipwreck there almost 2,000 years ago. While the Maltese wait to see whether a papal visit will be in the cards, Portugese tells me the accord with Vatican Radio formalizes an important collaboration that has been ongoing for some time, bringing the Pope's voice closer to the people of Malta.
For us, it is an important breakthrough. The agreement is already yielding results because every Sunday at noon, we are transmitting the live broadcast from St. Peter's of the Angelus by Pope Francis. And this is very well considered by a wide cross-section of Maltese people, people in old people's homes, in hospitals, but also in private residences. So this is one step already, which is very important for us, to have this live transmission every Sunday. And another area, which is very important to us as well, is the possibility to have access to the 8-year-old archives of Radio Vatican. This is a gold mine for us. And in fact, also here we have a first important result through this collaboration. In fact, Radio Vatican has just passed on to us a radio message of July 1964 by Pope John XXIII, addressed to the Maltese people, on the occasion of the centenary of St. Paul's celebration on the shipwreck of St. Paul in Malta. And this includes an exhortation, let's say, an appeal to the Maltese people to protect and nurture their Christian faith, and also a blessing in the Maltese language. This is a historical document which we are already using on Radio Malta, also analyzing it, having comments both by our Archbishop, Monsignor Paul Cremona, and by the Vicar General, Monsignor Charles Schwierep. So this is, again, another important point. A third aspect, that from Monday to Friday at 8:05 on Radio Malta National Station, we broadcast what is called Vatican Viewpoint. Normally at 8, punctually, we broadcast from London live BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, international news from London. And this is now being followed immediately by the Vatican Viewpoint, which is a high-level program addressing various topics, various challenges related not only of interest to the Catholic Church, but I would say to various aspects of our life, social and political and cultural life.
Which is produced also by our very own English service here at Vatican Radio.
Very high level, both the production and also the topics that are addressed, really addressing a high level of people in society. I have been following nearly every day when I succeed to be either at home or have the radio on in my car, but really high level. Then we discussed as well possibility of having exchanges in training of personnel and also technical exchanges. I had the occasion to visit Vatican Radio and the facilities also of the Centro Televisivo Vaticano last November.
Right. Well, so what are some of the opportunities presented by such cooperation within the context also of the EBU?
Inside the European Broadcasting Union, there is an organized group of small states. Besides the Vatican, there is Malta, Cyprus, Monaco, Andorra, and Iceland. I hope I'm not leaving anyone out. Presently, Vatican Radio is the coordinator, has the role of coordinating the lobbying also and the discussions on behalf of the television stations inside the small nations. Important. As I said, when we go to the General Assembly, the majority are very large countries. So the small countries, we are really small, because I mentioned about 5-6. We don't reach neither 1 million population amongst us. So there is the risk that the small nations are a bit ignored. So there we have to lobby. And in fact, we had a very interesting discussion in the last General Assembly last December in Geneva, also regarding the financial contribution of the small states, which for us, every 1,000 euros, they have an impact on our budgets. While for other large countries, this could be, let's say, of secondary importance. And so in the last General Assembly, together with Radio Vaticana and the other small states, we embarked, let's say, on a lobbying campaign not to continue penalizing the small states. I have to say that there were several also larger countries from Mediterranean, including Italy and France, okay, who are understanding these positions that these small either television stations or the radio stations, in our case we have three radio stations, two television stations and an internet. Expenses are going up for everybody. We know the problems of Cyprus, and there are also these small groups that are currently headed by Vatican Radio also is working to see how to mitigate the financial impact. EBU is quite expensive, and not only the membership, but also the various programs that there are. If you take part, I don't know, in Eurovision, for example, in our case we take part, it's very important for us, it's a good platform, you have to pay. Now, we are organizing the Eurovision Young Song Contest that we won last November in Kiev in Ukraine. Also, there, every time you participate, you have to pay. And the participation has a big impact on the small countries. So, Vatican Radio has a prestige, you know. It's small like us. We are the largest in the group, Malta. We have 400,000 inhabitants. But if you see the others, Cyprus is quite large as well, but if you take Monaco, Andorra, San Marino, 20,000, I think this we're doing well to do this synergy.
There's a special relationship between the Maltese and the Vatican. We remember the visits of Pope John Paul II, who went to Malta twice, 1990, also 2001, and Pope Benedict, of course, went there in 2010. What relationship do the Maltese have with the Pope and the Church here in Rome?
I think they are very close. There are relations because majority of Maltese people, it's a very, let's say, active Catholic country. In fact, for Father Lombardi's talk, I think this is extremely important. We had the Archbishop of Malta, there was the Archbishop of Gozo, which is a nearby island of 20,000 people, the Vicar General Monsignor Scicluna, and the Archbishop Emeritus Monsignor Mercia. Then there was the Apostolic Nuncio, Monsignor Cavalli, to give you an idea how important also is the Vatican Radio for the local church, also through our national broadcasting organization, PBS. Obviously, the church has a big following in Malta, not only through church ceremonies and masses every day and every week, but also the moral and authoritative standing that the church has. Also, its big activity in education. There are a lot of Catholic schools in Malta. The big activity of the Catholic Church since time immemorial in the social field and the philanthropy, the Catholic Church was the first year to have orphanages, institutions for old people, for sick people, and in recent years Caritas has been very, very active, especially on the recovery of drug addicts. So the Church has not only a religious leadership, but more and more and more educational, social, and philanthropic. In fact, one of the biggest institutions that the church runs in Malta, which costs millions and millions every year, is called Pope John the 23rd, let's say, institution, where heavily disabled people are taken care of in this institution. And so the church is extremely committed. Obviously, the Pope is very popular. Everybody has been asking Father Lombardi whether Pope Francis will visit Malta, because after three visits, as you said, by Pope John II and Pope Benedict, everybody here is waiting for this high expectations for another visit by Pope Francis. That is not yet on the cards, you know, that it can happen in future. We hope it will happen. I think the nicest news for the Maltese people, if it had to happen.